My name is Andy Conlin, and I'm a graduate student researcher with the Africa Center. Today, you're listening to Field Notes. Field Notes is a growing communications project designed to collect and promote research and communications from Colorado State University and beyond. Today, we're talking to Monica O'Reilly. Monica is a master's student in the Public Policy and Administration program at CSU, concentrating in international policy and management. After receiving a bachelor's in zoology, Monica quickly realized that public policy and administration is at the forefront of social and environmental change, leading her here to CSU. Through her internship with the Global Livingston Institute and her interest in decolonizing development, she hopes to travel to Uganda this January for an immersion trip focused on best practices in community development. Join us in welcoming Monica.
Thank you, Monica, for joining us today. Why don't you start by just giving us a brief introduction to who you are and what you do?
Thank you for having me. My name is Monica O'Reilly. I'm a master's student in the Public Policy and Administration program here at CSU. I'm concentrating in international policy and management. And this is my second year in the program, so I have one more semester to go.
Wow, awesome. Congratulations. Yeah. You're in kind of the home run.
Yes.
Can you specify a little bit what kind of work you're looking to achieve with your master's and what kind of your goals are?
Yeah, so with my master's, and this might maybe lead into a different question, with my master's, I really wanted to, so I came from a different background, so I really wanted to have a solid base in public policy and administration and really learn the foundations of that since I came from the natural sciences. So my goals are really to get a solid foundation and to learn all the problems, the issues, and like solutions, best practices, so I can go out and have a successful career.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. I think policy is such an important approach to creating change in the world, and it takes a specific mentality to go into policy. So what would you say experiences led you to kind of shift away from the natural sciences and more towards that policy sector?
Yeah, so when I graduated, I went to Michigan State University and I got my degree in zoology. I graduated in December 2019 and I was looking into more programs along like the natural sciences and zoology, and then 2020 hit, which was pretty drastic, I think, for everybody. And I was always really concerned with social issues, but I think when 2020 happened, it made me more invested in a lot of social issues. You had like Black Lives Matter going on, like this whole COVID public health crisis. There was also like wildfires in Australia. I mean, everything was just burning. And I got just really passionate about these things. And I had a roommate who was like, "You're so passionate about these social issues that like you'll be successful with whatever you do, but like I would love to see you like follow your passions in life." And that's when I was really like, okay, is natural sciences really where I want to be, or do I want to be somewhere else? And I feel like public policy and administration is really the forefront of where those changes are happening and occurring and where those conversations are taking place. So I was like, that's where I want to be, and that's what really made me shift.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a really good approach to creating the positive change. I'll say for me, I'm in human dimensions of natural resources. Oh, awesome. And I had a similar trajectory of, you know, I want to make environmental change, but it's people ultimately who are at the forefront of creating that change.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
So I totally understand. So looking into your experiences now, I saw that you're involved with the Institute for the Built Environment. What is that organization and how did you get involved with it?
Yeah, so the Institute for the Built Environment, or IBE, they do sustainability projects kind of across a broad range of subjects. They do a lot of architectural projects. They've done, I think, a couple buildings on campus, or maybe not on campus, but with the city of Fort Collins. They also work on outreach and facilitation with people. So a couple projects that I'm involved in is the Timberline housing development. So on Timberline, they're looking to develop a mixed-use, affordable housing area there. So I've been attending sessions trying to figure out how do we build this community and make it sustainable, make it multi-generational, and not just sustainable environmentally, but sustainability just in the long term. You know, how can people like age within their homes? How can we make it socially sustainable, economically sustainable? And build like a community that people want to live in. And then another project I'm working with them is the city of Boulder is trying to electrify their city. So they're working with Xcel to do that. So I've been working on that partnership as well. So really just, coming up with these ideas to, it's really just coming up with these ideas and to make the world more sustainable and the processes to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like a really great organization. Have you worked with them for a while? Are you relatively new to working with them?
I've worked with IBE for about a year and a half now. I started with them working with a project with the city of Fort Collins. They're looking to expand their MAX bus route down to North Fort Collins. So I did a lot of community engagement and outreach with the North Fort Collins community, getting their input, how they want the bus route to be designed, what are stops they want, what are improvements they want to see. So we've done a lot of that work.
Awesome. That's great. You have also mentioned that you have plans to travel to Uganda if you can receive funding. What are your plans for that trip and I guess your goals as well?
Yeah, so one of the things I've been really interested in with my master's program, and this kind of started maybe last year, was one of my areas of interest is decolonizing development. And I worked with the Women's Bakery. They kind of approached us, our class, and wanted us to investigate how does neocolonialism impact the structure of their organization, how does it impact the nature of their work, and how can they mitigate those ethical concerns. So that's how I got really interested in this. And it was just a really insightful project. We did a lot of good work with them. And it really made me passionate about this concept of decolonizing, and it made me really think about how we do international development work and how important it is to be intentional with that. With Uganda, I've had an internship with the Global Livingston Institute over the semester, and they are having an immersion trip in January where they teach their best practices in community development. We'll have a chance to go to a couple of their project sites. So what I really want to do with this project is to investigate how GLI decolonizes development within their best practices, because, for instance, with the recycling centers, they employ a lot of people, they do education, but unless they're actually reallocating power to these communities, they can't really, and unless they're driving sustainability efforts themselves, there's not going to be environmental change within Africa. So I'm really looking to see where are those points of power being reallocated, and where is, at what point is GLI empowering these communities to drive their own sustainability efforts, and how are they doing that? So I'm really interested in how best practices aid in decolonization.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we hosted some speakers from the Global Livingston Institute just a week or so ago, but for any listeners who could not attend that talk or were not, you know, aware that it was happening, can you expand a little bit on what GLI is or what they do?
Yeah, GLI is a nonprofit that's based in Denver, but they do community development work in Uganda and Rwanda. They do a couple different projects working on public health, environmental sustainability and conservation, and also women's empowerment. So they have a couple different programs. They do a music festival. I don't know if they've done it the past couple years, but they have a music festival where they really educate people about public health, and they do a bunch of HIV testing there. They have a couple recycling centers in an area where there's really not a lot of organized recycling underway. They also do women's empowerment, so they have a women's leadership retreat that they connect women leaders from East Africa and like the United States and really anyone in the world who wants to go to this, where they can really talk about what it means to be like a woman in power and really learn from each other. Yeah, so they do a bunch of just community development work over there.
Awesome. And you mentioned the Women's Bakery approached your class?
Yes.
How did you then connect with GLI?
So I connected with GLI through the Posner Center, which the Women's Bakery is also a part of, and my advisor, Dr. Allison White, has connections with them as well. So I really learned about them through the Posner Center.
Awesome. That's great. The Posner Center is a fantastic, we have a great partnership with them as well. So that makes sense. For people who are new to your field, how do you explain the value of taking a interdisciplinary approach to sustainability, to development, to all of the things that you're expressing interest in?
Yeah, I think thinking about sustainability in particular, coming from the natural sciences background, I was so frustrated because I would read these papers that would just talk about how the world is burning and these animals are going extinct. Nothing's working right. And then at the very end of the papers, the conclusion would be like, well, policymakers have to do something. So I was just very frustrated because obviously there's a lack of connection between the science and the policy. And that was my original goal, was like, how can we connect these? How can I be in like the intersection of policy and science where I can understand both and translate them so there's like this relationship? And I think that whether we're talking about sustainability or if we're just talking about community development or really any of these big issues, they're not just monolithic. They're not standing alone. They interact with all these other things. So I think that taking an interdisciplinary approach is not only valuable but necessary. Because like you said, with sustainability, for example, while it's the environment that's being impacted, it's the people that are driving this change. So unless we focus on human behavior, in addition to all these environmental aspects and scientific things, we're never going to see the change that we want.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. what's something that you wish people understood more about the importance of the role environmental justice can play in all of these goals that we have?
Yeah, this is a great question because environmental justice is definitely something I'm really passionate about. I think that kind of going back to the whole decolonizing development, you're not going to see these changes unless you're empowering the communities that they're affecting, right? So, and a lot of these communities that are being affected aren't being involved in the change and they're being ignored. So it really doesn't make sense for us to make decisions for people that are on the front lines of being impacted. They should be driving this change. They should be, you know, making the decisions of what they want to see. It's their health and their environment and their well-being that's being impacted. So unless you have local drivers of change, you're never really going to be successful in that. I think it's really important, for instance, like with the MAX project, we focus specifically like on the Hispanic community in Fort Collins and getting them involved because a lot of them live in North Fort Collins, and it's that was like a little environmental justice approach we took because they don't have connections to the natural areas that we all do in maybe South Fort Collins or Central Fort Collins, and that's an environmental justice problem. So kind of going to them and being like, how does this impact you? And like, how can we make these connections better? Where can we put these bus stops that will make it more convenient to you? Yeah, and I think especially, I mean, with Fort Collins specifically, talking about the indigenous population is really important. And yeah, I think there's all these different facets of environmental justice that need to be kind of confronted and taken head on.
Yeah, totally. Going off of that, it can be kind of a delicate thing to conduct international research, particularly in the global south. So if you do receive funding and you can go to Uganda, what would you say are some strategies or even just things to have in mind for how you can respectfully and intentionally make sure that projects are community driven mm-hmm. and empower these local communities?
Yeah, this is something I've thought about a lot, especially being like a white researcher who's researching decolonization. I've had a lot of like thoughts where I'm like, oh my gosh, am I even the right person to be doing this sort of work?
Right.
Because I'm coming, decolonization, when we talk about it, it should be coming from like a global south perspective. And it's like, how can we drive decolonization efforts through a Western lens? So I've struggled a lot with that, but I think really trying to research and finding resources that are from the Global South and looking into those academics and those sort of resources is really important. I think also just reflecting and back on my privilege and figuring out, okay, where am I coming from? What's my perspective? I'm also really lucky that in the international community, I have friends that are from Africa, and I have the Africa Center community as a resource to kind of guide me through this and kind of help me kind of navigate some of these more like ethical dilemmas. Yeah, I think a lot of it's going to be research beforehand. Like I said, really diving into those resources from not a Western perspective, looking at what other people are saying. I think this question really reminds me, sorry not to like go off on my own little tangent, and you can cut this if you want, but it just really reminds me when I think of this. I always think about like, when I explain like decolonization stuff, I always think about like mission trips that are led by like churches and things. And like, I mean, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and we had like these trips where these people would go to Peru. And looking back on it, I was thinking, number one, now that I have this education, what were they doing? Because they would go to Peru like once a year. And I would always think, what are they doing the other 360 days that they're not there?
Totally.
They're there for 5 days building homes, but they're not looking into why can this community not build homes for themselves? Why is there a lack of resources? Do they not have wood? Do they not have the knowledge? Like, what is it? And you really have to look into those things. Like, you have to question, like, why do they not have what they need? Or, like, if you're building schools, you can't just build a school in an area and say, we solved it. There may not be teachers. Like, you have to think about these things. And that's one of the reasons that I picked GLI specifically for this project, is their approach to community development is they have a series called Listen, Think, Act. And I took a course with them over the summer, and their whole approach to community development is first, and this is one thing that did prepare me for this trip, was they give you a background on Uganda's history and Rwanda's history, so you have that context. You're not just going in blind, asserting your Western lens onto them. Second, they teach you to listen, think, act. So when you are confronted with a problem, the Western approach is you see a problem and we're just like, let's fix it. Let's get rid of it. But when you're dealing with community development, it's really first going there, seeing the problem and listening, like getting everyone's perspectives. Exactly. Like, why is there not a school here? Why do we not have enough water? Why are we missing whatever it is that is missing? And then thinking about those barriers and thinking, like, what can we do to solve the root issue of the problem? And then finally acting after you've, gotten community perspectives. Their whole approach to community development is working with the community, not making decisions and impeding them on the community. So that is one of the reasons that I chose them for this project.
Yeah, no, I think I absolutely agree with the stuff that you've been mentioning. I think that ties into, for me, I've really worked to avoid parachute science, which is similar to what you were talking about in Peru, where you just, parachute down, collect data, and then bounce, and, mm-hmm. You're gone.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really important perspective to take, and it sounds like you're going into it with the right mentality and with the intention,
Yeah, and I definitely don't want to just, like you said, parachute. Like, my whole goal is that I can, like, promote these best practices in decolonization and share them with, like, not just the CSU community, but hopefully the Posner Center community and these other nonprofits and organizations that do this sort of work. So I'm not just, doing my project, leaving, and I hope that I can contribute and that people can use what I gained and guide their developments as well.
And it can be ongoing and mm-hmm. continue past when you're no longer involved.
Exactly.
Personally. Yeah, I totally understand. So moving on, what are some of the challenges that you faced in pursuing your master's so far?
I think the biggest challenge was really just the adjustment of reading. There's so much reading you have to do. And just balancing, getting the readings done, doing your projects, and then still enjoying your life. That was my biggest challenge my first semester, was really like the school life balance. And it got to a point where after my first semester, I was really considering, do I need to take a break? And I ended up not, and I ended up seeking other means. I got a therapist and we dealt with it. But yeah, it was definitely really stressful managing, because you want to put all this time, and I was so stressed of like, I want to take advantage of every resource that I have here at CSU and do everything that I can. But also at the same time, I'm an extrovert. I need social connections. I need friends. I need to be able to go out and get dinner with my friends on the weekends or something. So really finding that sweet spot of, okay, I'm getting my work done, but I'm also enjoying my life, was definitely challenging at first. And luckily, I was able to, go to therapy and find that sweet spot and, access resources that were able to help me get there.
Yeah, well, I'm sure, like, conflate that, too, with we're in a space now where the pandemic is under better control, but I'm sure when you started your master's, yeah. It was a lot more of needing to be careful about where you went out and masking and all that too. And that placed a lot of stress on
totally
having a healthy social life.
Yeah. And exactly, like when you're in class and everyone's masked up, you're not really like trying to chat or like
it's very disconnected.
It's disconnected. Cause even though we're in person, yeah, everyone's in masks, everyone's still a little bit cautious. So I think after my first semester, but then after my first semester, I think then the masks kind of came off. And I think all of the students in my program were kind of like, we need each other. And we now are like, have a really strong group.
Good. Yeah. That's awesome to hear. And I guess, you know, going off of that, on the flip side, more positive, what have been some of the more rewarding aspects of the program so far?
There's been so many rewarding aspects of the program. The first thing that comes to mind is my very first semester, I was in a research methods course, and we had to design our entire research project from like the ground up, come up with different ways to test our hypotheses. We literally had to name like the data sources we were going to need. So literally designing a project as if you were going to conduct it. And someone like me, like the research methods really scared me, and I was like, this is going to be boring, this is going to be horrible. And it ended up being my favorite course and also my favorite project because I put so much into it. And now I have like, I mean, if I wanted to at the end of my program, I have like three different projects I could like pursue with just that. So that was really, really rewarding, just working hard and continuously building this thing and being able to do something that I previously looked back on and was like, oh, I can't do that. And it's like, not only can I do it, I did do it, which was really rewarding. I think another rewarding thing is just like, the social aspect, meeting so many people who are passionate about the same things that you are. I think that was like the biggest difference from undergrad to graduate school is, I mean, in undergrad, you have people who are just, you know, sometimes just there to be there. And graduate school, everyone wants to be there and wants to work in the field that you're getting your degree in. And everyone's very motivated and wants to help you. So I think that I've really found my people within my program too, which has been like extremely rewarding.
Absolutely. That's great to hear. I'll move into our final question, which is for you personally, what are your career or research aspirations over the next couple years?
Yeah, so I, after this, would love to get a job in working for a nonprofit within community development or something dealing with human rights. I'm not really sure what that position title looks like. I would love to stay doing some sort of research within my role. Or project management maybe. But yeah, definitely working on community development internationally, or I'm kind of in between. I either want to do it internationally or I would like to do it locally. So that's kind of where I'm at. And yeah, I think just like really my biggest goal is getting a job after graduation and really just like kickstarting my career, but also continuing to build on these things that I've been learning and exploring these topics like decolonization that I'm interested in. And I am interested in a lot of LGBTQ and women's rights, environmental sustainability. I'm also really interested in my career. I would love to find something that links, which there are organizations that do this, but working on the intersection of gender equity and environmental sustainability, because I think they're extremely linked. I think that there's a lot of good work that's being done at the intersection of them. So something that deals with that, I think, would be awesome and right up my alley.
Sweet. That's great. And then at the end of segments, I like to provide my interviewee with the opportunity to direct our listeners to any resources, websites that you think might be useful, whether it be a personal website that you have or an organization's website. So anything you'd like to share there?
Yeah, I mean, if you're interested in international development, definitely check out the Posner Center. They have a lot of great opportunities. As you are like me and about to start, you know, maybe looking for jobs, I think CSU has so many resources. I know a couple of the people who are applying for jobs and I was sending them some stuff. Like they have, I mean, especially the College of Liberal Arts has about a resume outline for just about anything you're majoring in, which I think is really great. And they have a lot of cover letter resources, job boards. So I would say definitely checking out those resources has really helped me, especially when I'm, you know, preparing to apply for jobs.
Great. Well, thank you, Monica, for joining us.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Pleasure to have you.
If you are a new listener, feel free to connect with the Africa Center by visiting africacenter.colostate.edu. And the tab at the top that says connect will allow you to join our email list where you can receive newsletters as well as information about upcoming events. We look forward to seeing you next time, and thank you for listening to Field Notes.